love. That's what revival's all about. Christianity all about. In Jesus Christ, first place in our life. Amen. And thank the Lord for that great song. And the thing about that song is that the people who sang it really believe it and live it. The Copelands are wonderful folks doing a wonderful job for God. And I've known the Copeland for a long, long time. I knew this couple even before they were married. And way back yonder, you know, when Moby Dick was a minnow. I mean, that's how long ago I am. They just discovered dirt in America. Yeah, so I've known them for a long, long time. Back when they were teenagers. And when just teenagers, and preaching at them back then. And now they've dedicated, given their life to God here ministering. Isn't that wonderful? And that's because they'd rather have Jesus. They'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. And to be used of the Lord that way. And I appreciate that. Thank God for them. We've had a wonderful time over in Pontang. And preaching, ministering, and a wonderful meeting in the church there. The Temple Baptist Church. And so thank the Lord for that ministry, folks, here. This is my first time in Puerto Rico. And I've had a great time. The people have been very nice, friendly, and everything's been wonderful. The food, amen. I think I've gained weight since I've been here on the island. Yeah, so, but it's been great, and thank the Lord. And your pastor, I just met him. The wonderful things about him and the ministry here. And so I'm looking forward to the revival. I thank the Lord for pastors that believe in revival. So many preachers today have lost sight of revival. I believe that's the reason why Christianity is in the shape that it's in. Yeah. Whether it's in the States, whether it's here in Puerto Rico. And we need revival, amen, in the hearts of God's people. But thank God there is a pastor in the church that believes in old-fashioned revival. Right. And the only hope for a dying world is a revived church. Right. That's the only hope we have. Right. Only hope for America. Yeah, that we have revival. And we need to understand that we need revival. And more than anything, Jesus is all about revival. Amen? Amen. And so that's why I have revival. And so we need it more than a job or a raise or anything of that nature. Revival is we can't put our faith in the economy. Are you with me? I mean, the economy is so bad. The other day, I received a pre-declined credit card in the mail. That's how bad the economy's got in America. CEOs are now playing miniature golf. Are you with me, Simon? ExxonMobil had to lay off 25 congressmen. The economy is bad. Motel 6 won't even leave the light on anymore. But you can't depend upon money, the economy. You can't depend. Got to depend on God. Only God can give us revival. Right. Only God can do it. And thank the Lord for a church that believes in a revival. And I'm looking forward to these next few days and getting to know you, dear folks, and your pastor. And so praise the Lord. Now, I was raised in Minnesota, the land where few are thawed and many are frozen. Amen? Amen. And two seasons in Minnesota, winter and the 4th of July. I mean, if it's snowing in Michigan, it's snowing in Minnesota. I'll tell you that right now. Now, of course, I was born in Yuma, Arizona. On the continental United States, Yuma, Arizona will be the hottest spot in the continental United States. And then, of course, I was raised in Minnesota. And many times, International Falls up there near Canada will be the coldest in the continental United States. The coldest spot. Are you with me? Yeah. And so that's my upbringing. Hot and cold, but that's the Bible. Didn't Jesus say, I'd rather have you hot or cold? Amen. None of this lukewarm in-between right. stuff. And so praise God here. You don't have nothing lukewarm. It's all hot. Amen. So praise God for that. But we have revival. And revival is just recognizing that I am nothing. And Jesus is everything. Amen. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. And we realize that I am nothing, I'm nobody, and Jesus is everything. And without the fullness of God's
power in our life, we are most men miserable. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That's revival.
Right.
And so I pray that God will get us revived and use us to advance the cause of Christ upon this in-soul society. Claim back the ground we've given up to the modernistic liberal crowd. And pray and ask God to give us the supernatural revival and spiritual awakening that we need. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we know the fundamental verse of Scripture is verse number 14. But I want to read there what happened prior to that passage of Scripture. And it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen.
Amen.
That's the revival that God wants us to have. But I want you to notice there in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying. Now the longest prayer recorded in the Bible is the prayer of Solomon. The whole chapter, chapter 6, is the prayer of Solomon. And when you read that, you'll find that Solomon was not necessarily concerned about God answering his prayer as much as he was with God hearing his prayer. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we need to concern ourselves with, is God hearing your prayer. Because by faith, he knew that if God was to hear his prayer, then God would answer the prayer of Solomon. In verse number 12, it says there, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know when God hears your prayers?
Amen.
I mean, that you have the ear of God. Amen. God hears the prayer of his people. And so the Bible says when it came to the end of that prayer, the fire came down from heaven. That's the power of God. That's the fire of God. And every single Christian needs to get the fire of God in our life. We need to get a fire for the Lord. Amen.
Right.
People today aren't fired up about the things of God. They're not excited about the things of God. They're not zealous when it comes to the teaching and preaching and the precepts and the promises of the Word of God. And so the fire of God. And the fire of God is always a fire of cleansing and a fire of restoration, a fire of purification. Amen.
That's right.
And the Bible says that is not my word like a fire. Amen. The word of God. And that God says that he's a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12. And the fire fell at Pentecost. Who's with me? 3,000 souls saved. And the fire of God fell. But I want you to notice here that as the fire of God fell, it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. What does the Bible say? Hebrews and chapter 12, or Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the mercy of God, you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Consumed with the power and fire of God. And the Bible says there that it consumed the sacrifice. But notice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of God. That's the wonder of God. That's the majesty of God. That is the person of God. The power of God. The presence of God that was manifested here in this passage of Scripture. That's what we need to pray and ask God to allow us to experience in our life in a greater way, in a more real, genuine, authentic way, the fire of God, the presence of God that'll challenge us and change us and convict us of our sins so that we might see the revival that God wants us to have. Are you with me? Say amen, even if it kills you. When I was a kid growing up, my mother, she'd give us medication, you know, back then, you know, in the 60s. It wasn't they didn't sugarcoat the medicine back then, amen. It was like drinking oil. But she'd say, swallow it. It's good for you. Amen. Whether you like it or not, whether you like this, swallow it. Say amen, even if it kills you. And so the Bible says the glory of God. Notice what happened. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of God had filled the house. And so the presence of God, the power of God was so prevalent. It was so real there in that place that nothing else could get into the house of God. Amen. That's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to be so filled with the power and presence of God that nothing else can get into our life and disrupt what God wants to accomplish in your heart. Amen. I mean, the problem today is we let too many other things into our life. Too many distractions. We allow too many things in our life that hinder us from recognizing the power of God, the will of God, what God wants to do and accomplish in our life. We get our eyes on Jesus. We get our eyes on our problems and all of this. And we get distracted. We get discouraged. And we're derailed. Who's with me? Say amen. We need to pray and ask God, oh, listen, fill me with your glory. Amen. Amen. Fill me with the power of God in such a way that nothing else can get in. Amen. Nothing. Sin can't get in there. Amen. Amen. Nothing to get in there and disrupt what God wants to do in your life. No, listen, the Satan, he's the master at disruptions. He's always trying to get in and disrupt the work of God. The pastor said, you know, he's been having some difficulties, situations, things like that. And you go through storms, trials. All of a sudden, you know what gets in our house? Worry, fear, anxiety, doubt, confusion. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have a Christianity. You need to be so filled with the power of God that nothing else can get in. And disrupt your life. It calls you to get your eyes off the Lord. When you get your eyes off God, then little things, little problems, little bitty disagreements, all of a sudden they begin to be magnified by the devil. Yeah. Now all of a sudden the church has lost its focus. Yeah. Now we're not with a heart of purpose and a heart of power going out and reaching a loss. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now we're too concerned about what other people are doing. Yeah, right. Who's with me? Say amen. Amen. The glory of God fell. Or the fire fell. The glory of God filled the house in such a way nothing could get in. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing could get in there. False doctrine couldn't get in. Yeah, bad attitude couldn't get in. Yeah, amen. Amen. And disappointment and discouragement. In all of that, several years ago, I was preaching a revival in Albany, Georgia. And I was there preaching. And many times, and what I do is I get in down on my face and I pray to God during my prayer time, devotion time. Close all the windows. I get dark in there. Turn off my phone because I want to meet with God. Amen. Amen. I pray and pray. And I was doing this. All of a sudden, my cell phone rang. And normally I turn it off because I don't want any disruptions. Who's with me? Say amen. I want the devil to disrupt me. And the phone rings, but I thought, well, since I left it on, maybe I need to take this call. I took the call and I heard commotion. I heard commotion. I heard panic in the background. It was my wife. It was my wife. I could hear my children. My little girl back then was about 6. My son Seth was about 7 or 8 years old. My boy Kyle, he was a little bit older than that, 13, 14, somewhere along in those lines. We were living in Oklahoma. I was out traveling. They were in a rent house that we were renting. And I said, I panicked. I thought, oh no, something tragic has happened. I said, Lois, what's the matter? She said, there's a mouse in the house. There's a mouse in the house. It's running around. And my kids are going crazy. Who's with me? I mean, they're going nuts. And I'm 900 miles away. And she calls me like as if I'm going to come over and get the mouse out. Who's with me? Amen. Better call my brother-in-law, Tim, and Brother Copeland knows him. And he went over, set up the remnant, trapped it, and all that. But that little old bitty mouse somehow, I mean, squeaked its way into that, and it caused such a... I mean, that's what happens when we let sin into our life.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It'll cause a panic.
Yeah.
It'll cause chaos.
Yeah.
It'll cause disruption.
Yes, sir.
We need to pray, God, we want your power and presence. We want to be so filled. I want to preach a message entitled, Is There a Mouse in Your House? What is Satan using to distract you? To discourage you from being filled with the supernatural power of God that's hindering God from hearing your prayers. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Is there a mouse in your house? And we see here in this passage of Scripture the result of revival and how it was used. Notice the Bible says there in verse number 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, what happened? The Bible says they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. You get people filled with the Spirit of God, there is going to be an element of humiliation.
Right.
Who's with me?
Yeah.
Humiliation. What happened? They fell on their face. Why? Because they saw the power of God.
Yeah.
You remember when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up? Oh, listen, he saw God, and what did he say? Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. It results in a spirit of humiliation where a child of God has a desire to get right with God and to sell out to God and have a heart that wants to serve the Lord and be right where they need to be. Oh, listen to me. We need to pray for God to convict our hearts so that we might have a humble spirit. They fell on their face.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
That indicates the spirit of humiliation. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know what's our example of humility? Jesus. Amen. Not because He had pride in His life, but He was willing to be submissive to the will of God and what God wanted Him to do. Who made Himself thought of not robbing to be equal of God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Amen. Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, we need to get the pride out of our life.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
God's people get too proud. They don't want to come forward. Too proud. They don't want to witness. Too proud. They don't want to admit that they have sin in their life. You get filled with the glory of God. There's no room for pride.
Amen.
The only course of action when a Christian's filled with the glory of God is to fall on their face and get right with the Lord.
Right.
To confess their sin. And to get the sin out and acknowledge your sin. Like David, when he sinned against God with Bathsheba, premeditated murder, trying to hide to cover it up. Then he was exposed. The man of God, thou art the man. And so he got his heart right. Psalm 51. I acknowledge my transgression. And my sin is ever before me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Created me a clean heart. He got right with the Lord.
Man.
He got right with God. Never. I mean, that's revival. When God's people get the sin out of your life. I mean, out of cause you to be grieved. Out of cause you, that Jesus prayed and he was sorrowful even unto death as his sweat drops were as great drops of blood, praying for God to use him as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Where's that heart today? Where's that humility today? We need to ask God, get the mouse that's in your house out. Amen.
Amen.
You acknowledge it. You confess it and agree with God that it's wrong. You learn to abhor it. You hate it. You ask God to help you. Abandon it. Get away from it. Flee from it. A Christian filled with the glory of God will manifest a spirit of humiliation. They'll have a desire to get right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
When they fell on their face, as opposed to all those theatrical, demon-possessed things you see with Benny Hinn and everybody else, when he breathes on them or touches them, they all fall backwards. Who's with me? That's not biblical.
That's
not scriptural.
That's
like Acts chapter number 8 with Simon, who bewitched the people with this sorcery.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah. Say amen right there. And I'm talking about old-fashioned Bible Christianity. I'm talking about people want revival. They're going to be filled with the glory of God. They're going to have a spirit of humiliation.
Man.
They're going to get right with God. Look at verse number 5. And the Bible said Solomon offered a sacrifice, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord. And the Bible says there in verse 8, also the same time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and Israel with them a very great congregation from the entering of Hamath, the river Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days of feast, 7 days. Oh, listen to me. When we're filled with the glory of God in such a way nothing else can get into our life, we're going to have a spirit of humiliation. Amen. But secondly, a spirit of dedication.
Amen. Yeah.
We're going to dedicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. We're going to dedicate ourselves to what God has called us to. Where's that old-fashioned spirit of dedication to get the job done no matter how long it takes? They were there never 21 days. They offered up over 100,000 sacrifices. Can you imagine how long the work, the sweat, the determination, the devotion, the dedication? We have a 3-day revival meeting. We think we're doing God a favor. Who's with me? Say amen. There's people today say, we don't need church 3 days. 3 whole days. I don't know if I can take it. Who's with me? Oh, back in the days of revival, they'd go 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They just go while people were dedicated.
That's right.
Who's the dedication today? And in Christianity, whatsoever hand find to do, do it all thy mind. Amen. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, that's the dedicated spirit God wants us to have. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that our Lord, ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Where is that dedication? Amen. Oh, listen, back when my dad and mom got saved, I was 15 years old. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mom was 38, my dad was 36. They got born again. And I'm telling you, man, when they got saved, they gave their life to God.
Man.
They took a bus route, and they began to serve the Lord on that bus route, and they were faithful on that bus route for 37 years.
Man.
Who's with me? Say amen. Running into Minneapolis, picking those boys and girls up, bringing them out. I mean, they were dedicated. I remember I was laying in my bed one Saturday morning. My dad came in there. He's in that gray area of old school and caveman. Are you with me? And he came in there, and he literally kicked me out of bed. Pow! I'm laying on the floor thinking, I don't know what I do. I said, Dad, what happened? What's the matter? He said, son, God has just called you into the bus ministry. And I have a brother. He's a year younger man. I said, what about my brother? Dad? Don't worry about your brother. God's fixing to call him in a little bit. And there we all were on the bus route.
Amen.
We'd be out on that bus route on Saturday, sometimes 6, 8, 10 hours Saturday, busy on that bus route.
Amen.
And we had to get up early in the morning because our bus route wasn't the farthest distance out of all the other routes in the fleet. And so we'd get up early in the morning. We'd have to get to the bus. We'd get everything ready. We'd take off any of the kids. We'd bring them into church. And hear the preacher, get them back on, and take them all the way back. Sometimes we wouldn't get back to the church till 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. We didn't have time to go home and sleep. We didn't have time to go home and eat. We just had enough time to press enough, get ready, get back into church that night.
Yeah.
Then we're back in church on Wednesday. Back out somewhere on Thursday. My dad made my brother and I go to the youth activities on Friday. I mean, listen. My mom and dad were dedicated, neighbor.
Yeah,
people aren't dedicated like that anymore.
Right. Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
We need some old-fashioned dedication. I think of David Livingston, the pioneer ministry to Africa, who walked over 29,000 miles. His wife died early in his ministry as he faced all of this opposition, not just from the people there, but from his own countrymen. Who's with me?
Yeah.
And he was there. Oh, he didn't always dot his I's or cross his T's the way that the mission board wanted him to do it. But neighbor, I mean, he was dedicated.
Man.
I remember reading one day the words in his diary, "Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart." That's dedication.
Amen.
I believe that's why God blesses these men. These missionary men, I mean, dedicated their lives to the Lord. Oh, listen to me. You remember the missionary C.T. Studd?
Amen.
Oh, what a man of God. Famous English. A cricketer and a member of the English cricket team. Gave away his vast wealth and became a missionary. His slogan, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Mediocrity has become the menace of the ministry.
Right.
Where's the dedication today?
Right.
Faithfulness to the cause of Christ. Faithfulness to the work of God. I surrendered to preach back in 1982. That's over 32 years ago. A week later, I preached my first sermon to a bunch of youth at a youth activity. Two people come forward and got saved. And neighbor, I've been preaching the unadulterated truth of God's Word now for over 32 years.
Amen.
Amen. I'm dedicated to it. I don't care where I go. I don't care who I see. I don't care how many people there are. I'm dedicating my life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a spirit of dedication. When you get filled with the glory of God, when at that place that nothing else can get in, you're going to have a spirit of dedication.
Amen.
You're going to have a spirit of humiliation.
Amen.
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 And then the Bible says here, in verse number 10, "And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart."
Amen.
"For the goodness that the Lord showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people." Oh, listen, when you get filled with the power of God, the presence of God, neighbor, you're going to have a desire to get right. Humiliation. You're going to have a spirit of dedication, devotion, faithfulness to the cause of Christ. And then a spirit of jubilation.
Amen.
That's the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to be happy.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with most Christians? They're not happy.
Yeah.
They're not happy. They're not happy with their lives. They're not happy with their job. They're not happy with their house. They're not happy. Some guys aren't happy with their wife. Aren't happy with their... Well, you know why? Because you've got something in there. You got a mouse in your house.
Right.
It's caused a distraction. It's caused a disruption. Where's the joy of the Lord?
Amen. Yeah.
You know, Psalms 85:6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Rejoicing is always a result of a revived Christian.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
All these people are happy. They're rejoicing about what God had done. You know, the Queen of Sheba wanted to come and check out Solomon. "I want to see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Why are you so successful?" And she went through all the country, looked at the big building, looked at all the coffers, looked at all the gold, looked at everything. Oh, everything. I'd be happy if I had money. I'd be happy if I have all the modern technology. I'd be happy if I have a nice, comfortable building. I'd be happy, man. I'd be a lot happier if we had, like, air conditioning, you know, or nice seats and everything like that. I tell you, when the church had to park God, when they sat on metal chairs in storefronts, they didn't have all the fancy equipment that we have today, but they had to park God.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
They were happy. They were happy. She said, what is it all? And then she finally came to the conclusion. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 7. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. Yeah. Amen. That's when you'll be happy, when you're standing there listening to God.
Man,
yeah. The fullness of God in your life. Man. That's when you're going to have true biblical happiness. Oh, listen, don't let the situation, don't let sin steal away your joy. Is there a mouse in your house? What's causing disruption? What's causing discouragement? What's causing frustration? What's caused the lack of peace and contentment in happiness? There's a mouse. There's something there. Let's ask God to give us revival. Let's ask God's fire to fall, and so that we can have such a glory of God in our life. So filled with the power of God that nothing else can get in. Let's pray for that glory. Is there a mouse in your house? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the truths of God's Word. Thank you for this precious passage of Scripture, Lord, and how it reveals some things in our hearts that we need so desperately. I pray tonight if there's one here that's not saved, he'll get saved. I pray if there's a Christian here that's discouraged and down, will determine to get that mouse out of their house. Get those things out of their lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many of you say, God spoke to my heart. I needed that message. Lift your hand up, big and high. Lift your hand up, big and high. Be honest with God. I needed that message. God spoke to my heart. You may put your hands down. And the pastor's going to come. He'll conduct the invitation. And when he does that, you come to this old-fashioned altar. Let God have His will and way in your heart and in your life.
So stand, head bowed, and eyes closed. We're just going to let the music play tonight. That you've heard a good message. You've heard the challenge. Now it's time for you to make some decisions, folks. It's time for me to make some decisions. It's time to deal with the Lord now. You've been challenged. The invitation's open. You come on forward if God's spoken to your heart this morning. Don't let the devil fight. Don't give him another reason. Don't leave here tonight with the same problems you came with the same discouragement that you came with. Let the Lord deal with your heart tonight. The invitation's open. You come on forward and talk with the Lord tonight. If you need somebody to pray with you, get our attention. We'll have somebody pray with you. Maybe there's somebody here tonight you don't know the Lord is your Savior. We've already been talking. You don't need revival. You need regeneration. You need to be saved.
Yeah.
We can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Christian, let God work in your heart. We've been praying for revival. I hope you've been praying for revival. We'll let the Lord do it. Needs to come. The invitation is still open. Anyone else needs to come deal with the Lord tonight? Amen. You may lift your eyes. You heard a good message. Amen. It's a good start. We need this, folks. I want you to be back. Make your mind up tomorrow. You're going to be back to hear some more. And that you're going to let the Lord work in your heart some more. You know, allow God to work in you. We needed what we heard tonight, folks. You know, sometimes we were praying that we'd hear the messages we need to hear. If we went through this whole weekend and our toes never got stepped on, then we didn't hear what we needed to hear. It hurts to get right with God sometimes. It takes some change. It takes some, like he was talking, humbling your heart. Humbleness, humility. Keep praying. Amen. Pray for revival. Get the mice out of the house. Amen. Get the mouse out of the house. I like that. I had a little bit of revival this morning, didn't I, Brother Medina? We were checking the air conditioners in the back here, checking the pressure, and I was hooking it tight, and a lizard crawled up my arm, went up into my shirt. Scared the fire out of me. It wasn't a mouse in the house, but it was a lizard in the shirt. But, very quickly it was. Amen. Good seeing folks out tonight. Amen. Come back again tomorrow night. And if you know somebody wasn't here tonight, you see them tomorrow, you get a chance to give them a call and encourage them to come back tomorrow night. Okay? Be in prayer for those that are sick. Annie and Kenny want to try and come tomorrow. Pray that they can. They've just been so down here lately. And, of course, with Chris, Shannon's doing a little bit better. We saw her yesterday. She's doing better. Praise the Lord. She's getting over that chikungunya. So just keep praying. Pray for Ernestina. Y'all going to switch tomorrow night and let Deli come? Maybe. Yeah. Oh, okay. So pray for Deli as well. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good seeing you out tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll tell you what, before we pray, let's sing Lord Send a Revival one more time. Lord Send a Revival, Lord Send a Revival, Lord Send a Revival, and let it begin with me. Amen. Hector, if you would, can you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the message, Father. Father, we recognize that He is an angel. We love you, Lord. Father, we recognize, Lord, that we are only sinners, Lord, but we are washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We need your power, Lord, to change our lives, Lord. We need to close our hearts, Lord.